Have your Bibles this morning. I'd like you to go to the book of Colossians. I'm actually going to deviate from the message that's in the bulletin. I was awakened this morning at 5 and things kept coming to my heart. So I said, okay, I'm going to go with that. Amen. And I want to read something, though, to you called Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. There was a sign that said, no admittance. When the house lights dimmed and the concert was about to begin, the mother returned to her seat and discovered that the child was missing. Suddenly, the curtains parted and spotlights focused on the impressive Steinway on the stage. In horror, the mother saw her little boy sitting at the keyboard, innocently picking out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. At that moment, the great piano master made his entrance, quickly moved to the piano and whispered in the boy's ear, don't quit, keep playing. Then leaning over, Paderewski reached down with his left hand and began filling in a bass part. Soon his right arm reached around the other side of the child and he added running obbligato. Together, the old master and the young novice transformed what could have been a frightening situation into a wonderfully creative experience. The audience was so mesmerized, they couldn't recall what else the great master played. Only the classic, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Perhaps that's the way it is with God. What we can accomplish on our own is hardly noteworthy. We try our best, but the results aren't always graceful, flowing music. However, with the hand of the master, our life's work can truly be beautiful. The next time you set out to accomplish great feats, listen carefully. You may hear the voice of the master whispering in your ear, don't quit, keep playing. May you feel his arms around you and know that his hands are there, helping you turn your feeble attempts into true masterpieces. Remember, God doesn't seem to call the equipped, rather, he equips the called. Life is more accurately measured by the lives you touch than by the things you acquire. So touch someone today. Amen? In the book of Colossians, I want you to turn to chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 6, and we're just going to follow what the Lord wants to do. This was not my original message, but it is the Lord's plan, so we're going to go with it. Because he knows best. Amen? In these passages of Scripture here, beginning with verse 6, he's talking to the Colossians, and he says, as you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord. So he's talking to Christians, he's talking to the church, he's talking to believers. See, some things were creeping in the Colossian church of false teachings and heresies. And Paul was trying to help this church be rooted and grounded in the truth. And so as he said, as you have received Christ Jesus, how many know that Jesus is to be received? Amen? He is the unspeakable gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He wrapped him in swaddling clothes and he brought him to this earth, born of a virgin. And he is the unspeakable gift. But like any other gift, if you don't unwrap it, you can never receive what's in the package. What do I mean by that? You need to unwrap Christ today. Unwrap him by receiving him in your heart. Let him flood your soul. Amen? So as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Receiving him is one thing, but then walking in him is another thing. There's so much joy and expectation when someone receives the Lord. The Bible says that the angels rejoice in heaven when one sinner changes his ways. When one person accepts the Lord, there's a great celebration. But then they have to face life. And you have to continue to walk in the Christ that you have received. And sometimes that's not always easy, but like they say, that's where the rubber meets the road. Amen. That's the practical application. And he said, he gives us some keys now on how we can walk in him. These are things that will help you further your walk with God. He said, rooted and built up in him. That word rooted, it refers to a tree. You know, when a tree gets planted, the roots go down. And trees can withstand storms. They can withstand adverse conditions because their roots have gone down and they've gripped a hold of the foundation. And then he said, rooted and built. Well, you cannot build a building unless there's what? A foundation. Something which that building rests on that secures it, that holds it in place, that keeps it steadfast. Rooted and built up, what did he say? In him. Not in an organization, not in this group, not in that group, but in him. You've got to be rooted. You've got, your roots have to go down into Christ himself. You have to be built on the foundation that is Christ. There is no other foundation that can hold your building in place. There is no other anchor that will keep your ship afloat during storms but that of Christ Jesus. So, in order to walk in him, we've got to be rooted and built up in him. We've got to be planted. Then he says, and established in the faith. How many know that when something is established, it's a lot harder to cause it to go away than if something that is not established? Isn't that true? So we have to be established in the faith. And it takes time for something to be established, doesn't it? We had a time in our country where these dot-com businesses first started coming, you know, and they were doing great, but then all of a sudden, in a short time, a lot of them faded because they weren't established. They wanted a quick fix. They wanted something to come quick. They wanted instant wealth. But how many know that wealth doesn't always come instantly, and if it does, it could destroy you? I remember reading in one of my business books in college where someone had won the lottery, and they went out and bought all these things and had these trips, but then they had an illness, and it took all their money. And so now they got to the point, after having won the lottery, they'd have to take their lottery check they would get every year, $50,000 a year, and they'd have to sign that against a loan from the bank. Because that person was not established in the ways of handling that increase, so when that increase came suddenly, it went away just as quickly as it could. And that could happen. But he says, if you're established in him, if you're firmly fixed, if you're planted, you're established. That means you continue to develop and to grow. How many has ever seen a tree or a plant pick itself up from where it was planted? Say, I don't like this place, I'm going over here. You ever see that happen? No. See, trees don't easily, see, once they're planted, they grow where the farmer plants them, amen? Do you think we could learn something from that? Do you think if God plants you someplace, you think that's where he wants you to grow? Well, I don't like it. I don't agree. Doesn't matter. You got to take it up with the farmer. If he planted you there, then you better find a way to grow. Amen? We got to be established in the faith as you have been taught. You're going to need teaching. Teaching is the thing that establishes you in the faith. You've got to be in a place that teaches the Word of God. You've got to be open to learn. As See, the Holy Spirit, He's our teacher. Jesus was the greatest teacher ever. He came and He taught and He explained His principles into common basic things. He talked about sheep. He talked about wells. He talked about wineskins. He talked about fish. He talked about bread. He used everything that people deal with on a daily basis to explain His heavenly principles. They were called parables. As you have been taught, don't think that you're going to be established without being taught. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. Hold your place in Colossians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It's talking about Jesus. He said, and He Himself, say Himself, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Did you know that saints are to do the work of the ministry? Let me say that again. Did you know that saints are to do the work of the ministry? Say, that means me. That's proof that ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. They always said in Bible school that ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. And now I realize what that is, what that means. You know, when you first hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, right. And then you get into it, it's like, oh, that's what they mean. So He gave these gifts to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come into the unity of faith. That's job security. Guess what? We're not there yet. We're not all in the unity of faith. That means I got some job security yet. There's some people that need to be taught and reached. Amen? We're going to see 10 souls come here a month. Amen? Say, I believe for 10 souls a month. Say, we're going to see 120 at the end of next year. That's 120 at least. So I feel like the boiler today. When I walked in the building, it was 61 degrees, but I'm starting to warm up. Hallelujah. It took a little time for the temperature to increase, so I apologize if you walked in this morning and it was cold. I don't know what was going on, but I'm getting warmed up. Amen? Are you there? Have you gone home today? Okay. Amen. So these are things that are going to help us walk in Him. We have to be taught. And then he says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You know, there's one characteristic that ought to be found in every Christian, and that is thanksgiving. And the Bible says we ought to abound in thanksgiving. That means to increase. That means to grow. That means we ought to continually being thankful about everything that God does. Amen? Did you know that even when bad things happen, you can find something good to be thankful about? You know? Amen? I remember when I got hit by a van out in front of this church, I was thankful that I didn't die. Hallelujah. But we ought to abound with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a characteristic of someone who is walking with the Lord, who is connected, who is rooted and grounded in Him, who is built up, who is established in the faith. Thanksgiving always follows them. We ought to be thankful. We have the greatest thing to be thankful for. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is delivered from death. Hallelujah. We've all been delivered from death. We don't have to go to hell. Thank God. Well, if you're going to walk in Him, you've got to increase in thanksgiving. That means you've got to be thankful when you don't feel like it. You can wake up and you can say, good morning, Lord. Or you can say, oh, Lord, it's morning. It all depends on your perspective. You can get up and say, good morning, Lord. Or you can say, good Lord, it's morning. Well, you ought to be thankful that you can get up. You ought to be thankful that you're breathing. If you just take a minute and thank God, energy will come to you. But you got to abound in thanksgiving. He's talking to Christians. You think being a Christian, you know, there was one sign. I don't even know where I was. It said, Christ never said it would be easy, but He did say it'd be worth it. The Christian life is not a bed of roses. You're not going to float through this life just because you're a Christian. You know, you're not going to do the Nutcracker Ballet just because you're a Christian. You're going to have to deal with some things in life. But here's the good news. You don't have to deal with it alone. You don't have to be overwhelmed by what goes on in life. You've got a rock to rely on. He'll help you through. He'll teach you. He'll help you. He'll take your hand. He'll guide you through it. So thank God you don't have to go through this life alone. But it's not going to be a bed of roses. Whoever told you that lied to you. If anybody's been a Christian for a while, you know it's not a bed of roses. You know you got to deal with things in this world. You got to deal with things and at work and all that stuff. And sometimes you don't feel like smiling. Sometimes you just want to have a fit of carnality. I remember when Jesse Duplantis, I was watching this program, and he was talking about a fit of carnality, and he had to go under his house to fix some pipes that had frozen or something. And he was working on the pipes, and he just happened to look over, and there was a dead cat right just a couple inches of where he was lying. And he screamed from under that house. He got into the house. He said he had a little fit of carnality. Well, I would too if you see a dead cat that you're laying next to. You know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't have to deal with your flesh. Do you know what part of you got born again? When you got born again, did anybody's hair color change? Did your eyes change? Did did your weight change? Did your physical condition change? What changed when you got born again? It was something on the inside. It was your spirit. It was the real man, the hidden man of the heart. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, you got born again on the inside. The nature of God came on the inside of you and made you into a new creature. But then you still live in this house. And sometimes your house needs repairs. Sometimes it needs paint. Amen. Sometimes it needs some things. Joyce Meyer said, I'll lift, I'll tuck, I'll push whatever I can until I leave this earth. So we still have some things to deal with, but you can make a decision to walk in Him. Amen? It's a journey. It's a lifetime. It's one day at a time. He says, walk by faith and not by sight. That's one day at a time. Life is not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. You got to pace yourself. And Paul gives us some help here. Let me read this from a couple other translations. The Amplified says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk or regulate your lives or conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. So in other words, now you've got to live according to a different set of principles and standards. All right? It says, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more conformed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Say, I'm thankful. Say, I'm thankful when Pastor Doug goes long. Come on. And smile when you say it. You know, when I visit places, you know, they, blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. And see, one thing I like about being a pastor is if I don't finish my message, I can carry on next week. That's cool. Then the English version says this, since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with Him. Keep your roots deep in Him, build your lives on Him, and become stronger in your faith as you were taught, and be filled with thanksgiving. That's the English version. So he's trying to tell us something. You will never hold on to the doctrine or the teaching of Christ until you first enter into a relationship with Him. If you try to hold on to the teaching of Christ without having a relationship, you will have a form of godliness, but you will have no power. Many people are in the world today are like that. They have a form of godliness. They look good, smell good, sound good, but just like the Pharisees, they're full of dead men's bones. That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. He said, you are whitewashed tombstones. Man, you're sparkling on the outside, but inside you stink. See, now as a Christian, in order to walk in him, we've got to now live our lives inside out. We've got to reverse how we've lived before. How do we live before? From the outside in. That's how we lived before Christ. We tried to take care of numero uno first. But now we got to live inside out. You know, and some of you have heard this story, but when I was in college, I had a pair of jeans and a shirt, and they were made inside out. So it looked like I had my, but that's how they were made. And I wore them because they were cool. You know, I thought I was cool until I met Fiona. And then she helped my wardrobe. One day, her and her roommate, I was away, and so I let them use my apartment. See, I had an apartment when I was in college. I avoided dorm life successfully. And I made a mistake of giving them the keys to my apartment. Never do that. And they came in, and they rearranged my closet. They took stuff out of it. I come home, and I'm like, what is going on? They wanted to... They didn't like my wardrobe, so they were giving me a hint as to change. Because, you know, no one else had inside-out jeans or shirt. I was the only one. But that's how we have to live. You got to live inside out if you want to walk in him. Amen? To be rooted and grounded. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. Let's start with verse 1. This is what Jesus said. He prophesied. He spoke this in Luke. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. See, before Christ, we had ashes. He takes our ashes and he makes us beautiful. The oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness. One version says the oak of righteousness. You know what an oak tree is? That's just one crazy nut that held its ground. Isn't that true? An acorn decided to hold its ground and it became a mighty oak tree. The planting of the Lord, that he, my Bible has a capital H, talking about the Lord, that he may be glorified. You know, we're not to live this life. We're not to walk with him so that we can get glory. Everything that we do should glorify him, should please him. We shouldn't do things solely to please others. How many has found out that you can't please everybody? So you might as well not even try to please everybody. Just please God, and others will be pleased as you do that. Some will and some won't. I mean, Jesus was perfect, and what did they do to him? They crucified him. They hung him on a tree. They criticized him. They nailed him. They caused him to bleed, and he was absolutely perfect. So that proved that you can't please everybody. Not everybody's going to like you. That's okay. Some people don't need to like you. People are like elevators. They'll take you up or take you down. Which one you want to get on? You can't put your trust in people. But he called them. See, look at what God does. He gives you beauty. He gives you joy. He gives you praise. He consoles you so that you can be the planting of the Lord. He does all these things in your life so that he can manifest his glory so that you can be now a billboard for him. He wants you to be a living epistle, known and read of all men. This is what it means to walk in him. to be rooted and grounded, to be built up in Him, to be established in the faith, to abound with thanksgiving, to be taught all these things. He's telling the church at Colossae, it applies to us, to the church in Palmyra today. Aren't you glad that God gave us His Word? His Word is timeless. His Word can go from generation to generation. It's truly the gift that keeps on giving. Thank God for the Word. Let me tell you something. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're living in some trying times, aren't we? You may have doubts about what's going to happen in the economy. You may have doubts about what's going to happen in the world. But I want to assure you that you should never have any doubts about this book. If you put this book into practice, I'm telling you, it will work. It is the truth. It cannot fail. It will not fail. It will always work if you put the Word into practice. And if we ever had a time in our generation where we needed to live the Word out, it is today. It is today. We should not delay anymore living out this Word. This will rise above anything that's happening in it. This will outlast the world. Heaven and earth will pass away, but He said, my Word will never pass away. So if there was ever a time that we needed to walk in Him, not walk in fear. In the world, there is fear. People took action because of fear. And when you take action because of fear, it will never turn out good, ever. Fear is faith in the enemy. But God did not give us a spirit of fear. One lady last week, she asked me to have God take the spirit of fear out of her. I said, He's not going to do it. He didn't give it to you. I said, what's God going to do with fear? He doesn't promote fear. So it's not going to do God any good to take that fear out of you. You got to realize He did not give you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, this person had an eye problem. Something happened with their eye. And when they said, you know, ask God to take this fear away, I said, no, He's not going to take it away. But I said, what spirit did He give you? You know, she said, spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And we prayed for her. She instantly started, the pain that she was experiencing in her eye was starting to go away. See, if all you do is realize who you are in Christ, you do not have a spirit of fear. That means when fear tries to come, and the devil will, he'll try to apply pressure, he'll try to push, he'll try to say, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just look at him and say, what are you going to do? Don't let fear get in you. You do not have a spirit of fear. Fear is not part of your genetic makeup. There is no fear in Christ. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. So Jesus is perfect love. So when you let God arise, fear has got to go. Amen? But it's your choice. You can say no to fear. Say no to fear. No to fear. So when you're facing tough times, the first thing that's going to come up is fear. Don't stay there. If you open the door and fear's there, shut the door and lock it and tell it to go. You have that power. Come on, Jesus Christ died. He went through the grave. He went through everything to live in us. He is in us now. He's talking to believers. Pull yourself up from your bootstraps and start to walk in Him. That means you might have to start doing things that you didn't do before. Amen? But you can be an oak of righteousness. I like that. You know, oak is a hard wood. Oak is a solid wood. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Is this okay? It's what the Lord wanted today, and I said, okay. You know, I always prepare something, but I'm always prepared to do whatever He wants to do. if that means not to do what I prepared to do. And you know, for a teacher, that's kind of scary. Now, my wife, I mean, she's prophetic. She can just get up there. She tries to take notes, and she has a hard time taking notes. But me, I love my notes. You know, I spend a lot of time in my notes. And for me to venture away from my notes, it's faith. Sometimes you got to do that, amen? Jeremiah 17, 15. He said, well, let's go back to verse 12. He said, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary, O Lord, the hope of Israel. All who forsake you shall be ashamed. Do you know it's possible to forsake the Lord? It's possible to turn away, to be disobedient. It's possible. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. But Jeremiah cries out, he said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Indeed, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hurried away from being a shepherd who follows you. Notice. He decided to put his trust in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord are going to flourish. The Bible says in Psalm 92, you'll flourish as you're planted in the house of our God. When you're planted in God's house, you're going to flourish. Just like Job. When he flourished, yeah, he lost everything, but at the end of his life, he got back twice as much than what he lost. It was the Lord who added to him twice as much. Yeah, he went through some things. Some people say that the time that Job went through his thing was 9 months. It was the time of pregnancy. If that's an accurate figure, Job was pregnant with a purpose. And he had to let 9 months for that purpose to gestate inside of him. But then came time. His purpose was, he's never going to deny the Lord. No matter what come, I'm going. We always quote something that Job quoted, but it wasn't inspired. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord's not a taker. He's not a thief. He doesn't take. You read the Bible says God gives. He's a giver. All good and perfect gifts come down from above from the Father of lights. So don't ever blame God that he took. The only way he takes something is if we get out of his will and then the devil comes in and steals. God is not a thief. The devil is. Let's get that clear. So when we suffer loss, it's not because God's taking something away. Maybe the devil had an access into, you know, he had an access into Job. Job said, a thing I greatly feared has come upon me. Fear was an access where the devil came in and destroyed everything. But thank God, he maintained. He kept walking. He was like a tree that was planted. He said, I'm not going to deny that. He had his own wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Most of us men, if we had that advice from our wives, we'd probably take it. Wives have a powerful influence. But Job said, no, I'm not going to do that. And with the friends that Job had, you don't need enemies. You know, they weren't much of an encouragement to him. Well, Job, the reason this is because you sinned. Really, Job didn't even know what was happening, but he knew that he wasn't going to deny his God. That's what it means to walk in him. When you face trials, no matter what kind of pressure the devil puts on you, I'm walking with the Lord. I'm praising his name. I'm magnifying Jesus. You might have to pray a little harder. You might have to worship a little longer. You might have to read and study a little more, but you're going to get through it. This is the attitude that you got to take when you're walking with God. You got to say that nothing can move me from either direction. Jesus said, don't look to the right or to the left, but either look straight on. You got a purpose in your heart that nothing is going to turn you away from a relationship with him. That's what it means to be planted and root up in him. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to encourage you today. You don't have to give in. You don't have to quit. You might be on the verge of a miracle. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't lose your grip. Yeah, times might be tough, but Jesus is bigger. He's stronger. He's better. He's the rock of your salvation. He can get you through anything. He came through hell. Oh, you didn't know that he descended into hell. He took on the punishment that we should have had for 3 days. But when he left hell, he took the captives, he took them with him, he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, he defeated Satan with one punch. Satan didn't even see the resurrection coming. The Bible said if he'd have knew it, he wouldn't even crucify the Lord, but he had no clue. And when he came out of that grave, Satan was defeated. There's nothing in this world that you can go through that he hasn't gone through. There's nothing that you can go through that he can't help you. His arm is not too short to save. He is our wisdom. He'll get you through anything. He created this world. He caused Joseph to come out of the pit and become a prime minister overnight. One fell swoop of God's hand brought him up. Yeah, he went through some things, but he maintained his attitude. He walked with God. I'm not going to commit this sin against God. He kept his good attitude. He kept treating people kind. He kept walking in love, and eventually God brought him to the top. That's what I'm telling you today. If you just keep walking with the Lord, you might experience, the devil might be trying to drown you, but you're going to be like the cream that comes to the top. I'm telling you that today. That's a word from God for you today. Take it. It's yours. That ought to give you a fighting spirit. You ought to come up and come up seeing yourself victorious. I can hardly get the words out. Ephesians chapter 2. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's the stone that holds everything together. It can bear the weight of the building. Hallelujah. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built up together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What's he? He's talking about the church. Built up. We are now citizens. We're members of God's household. That means Jesus is our brother. That means that he left us an inheritance. Woo, God's got some good things for you to have. That he's prepared some things for you to walk in. But in order for you to walk in them, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and to train you. But you're built on a foundation, and that foundation cannot falter. Jesus said, a wise man builds his house on a rock. Foolish man, he liked the beach, so he wanted a beach house. He built his house next to the ocean. In the sand. One thing common to both houses, storms came. Winds blew. And those storms were violent. That speaks of the things that we encounter in life. Storms, tragedy, sorrow, loss. Those beat on the house. And when it hit the house that was built on the sand, you know what happens to sand when the water gets in it? It washes away. The foundation that he built that house on was washed away. But the one who built his house on the rock, he was called a wise man, experienced the same storms. But what was the difference? The foundation was the difference. He chose to build his life on the rock. Yeah, storms came, but when the storms were done, his house was still standing. This other one was washed away. What does it mean to build your life on the rock? It means to do what God wants you to do in life. It means to now align yourself with him. Please him. In your choice of career, your choice of living. If anything of this world keeps you from following God, in the end, you're going to lose everything. If there's anything in this world that prevents you from following the Lord, you're going to lose it. Rich young ruler came to Jesus. What must a man do to be saved? Jesus said, keep the commandments, obey your mother and father. Whew. Man, I've got merit badges. I did it and got the t-shirt. Rich young ruler said, yeah, I did that. Okay, Jesus said, you lack one thing. Everybody say one thing. Go and give everything you have, sell everything you have, and give it to the poor. What happened to that rich young ruler? He walked away. Jesus said, go and sell it, come and follow me. You know what happened? You know what happened to everybody that followed Jesus? They were blessed. Peter gave up his fishing business and he caught more fish than he could ever imagine. Matthew was a tax collector. He gave up working for the IRS and he came to work for Jesus and he wrote a book. He became an author called the Gospel of Matthew. Anybody that truly followed Jesus was blessed. But those that didn't, Judas, he didn't really follow him. He hung around him. He was in his presence. But Judas didn't really have a heart after God. He was in the right place with the right person, but his heart was never changed, and therefore Judas was the one who turned in Jesus. He betrayed him. Where did Judas end? He ended up hanging on a rope. And he fell down, and his, I'm going to be a little gross, but his insides splattered all over. Rich young ruler walked away from an invitation to follow the Lord, to be a disciple. Why? Because he loved his stuff more. If there's anything in this world, if there's any person in this world that is tying you down from following the Lord, you need to make a decision. Is it worth holding on to something when you're going to lose it in the end? Or is it worth giving it up now and gaining eternity? You know, you can build up rewards here on earth, and that's great, but this is where moth and rust come in. But if you invest in heaven, how do you invest in heaven? You win souls. You be salt, salvation and love testifying. That's what it means, really, to walk in him. Why are you walking in him? So that you can help others. So that when they look at you and see you, they see Jesus and they don't see you and they want to follow you. They want to follow Jesus, I mean, because of what they see you do. Let your good works so shine before men. What? That they might see your good works. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Because you're built up on a foundation. You're established. Go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speaking. What's he saying? Change your ways. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. What's your desire for the word? Do you have a strong desire for the pure, sincere milk of the word? What does a baby do when they want milk? They let you know that they're hungry. What does a Christian do to let you know that they're hungry? Amen. Amen. Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Desire. If you indeed have tasted of the Lord's gracious, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame." Aren't you glad that when you put your faith in Christ, you'll never be put to shame? That means you'll always succeed if you establish in that faith. How do you know if someone's established in that faith? They can't be shaken from it. Let me just give you an example, and then I'm about ready to close. You remember the story of Jairus, who came to Jesus? He was a ruler of the synagogue. He worshiped the Lord in public, and he said, "Lord, would you come and lay your hands on my daughter? She's near death." And Jesus said, "Yes." They started going to Jairus' house. Jesus was going to lay his hands on Jairus' daughter, just like Jairus asked. So along the way came the woman with the issue of blood. She did her thing, got her miracle. And by the time they got now to Jairus' house, the servant came from the house and said, "Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." Jesus looked at Jairus. He heard what was said. He said, "Only believe." What did Jairus have to do? He had to be established in the faith. In other words, he had to keep the same thing he believed from the beginning all the way through. The statement that he made was, "If you come and lay your hands on my daughter, she shall be whole." And he had to keep that even in the face of death. That's what it means to be established in the faith. And so Jairus didn't change what he said. Even when he was presented with the information that his daughter was dead, he didn't change his original position. That's what it means to be established in the faith. You don't change your position. You don't change your mind. You don't become double-minded. You don't take another opinion. I believe it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And you're not changing my mind. No one. I don't care if death is facing me. I'm not changing my mind. I'm fixed. I'm rooted and grounded. I'm firmly established. I'm thankful. So they get to the house. He goes in, everybody's carrying on their mourning. Jesus said, "The daughter's not dead, she sleeps." They looked at him like, "You're crazy." They just saw her die, they were mourning her death. They looked at Jesus and thought he was crazy. He put him out. Sometimes you gotta put some people out. Because sometimes people will hinder you from being established in the faith. You gotta put some people out. Put out the doubt. Doubt is trash, so take out the doubt. Thank God you don't have to have a certain trash day. You can take out the doubt any day. So there Jesus took Jairus and a couple of his disciples. They went in, and what did Jesus do? He touched her just like Jairus asked. What happened? That he said, "Arise." She got up and she fixed them dinner or something. Yeah, he gave her something to eat. But now he had an opportunity to quit. "Oh, this faith stuff doesn't work. Only if you don't work it. Only if you don't believe it. Only if you don't stick with it. It only doesn't work to the people who don't work it. But to the people that work it, you're going to see God on the other side. I'm telling you. I don't care if it takes 25 years to have an Isaac. You stick with God and you're going to get what he said. Don't give up. Don't quit." I remember Brother Hagin was telling this story. Brother Hagin, at the age of 14 months or 4 months before his 16th birthday, he became paralyzed because he had an incurable blood disease, a deformed heart, and he ended up spending 18 months in his bed. He said it would take him, and during that time he went to hell 3 times. Okay? Actually, when he was born, they thought he was dead because he was stillborn. They put him outside, they were going to bury him, and he coughed as a baby. Satan was trying to take him out from the very beginning. And so, Brother Hagin, it would take him about 40 minutes to an hour just to turn a page in a Bible. Now, think about it today. Would you spend 40 minutes to an hour just to turn a page? How determined are you to stick with God's word in the face of tragedy? there he would. It would take him 40 minutes. He knew what he wanted to do, but his hand wouldn't work. But after 40 minutes, he could turn the page. And finally, he got saved and he got healed through Mark 11, 24. And he went up for breakfast. But after this, he felt some symptoms starting to come up on his heart like he had before. And he made himself laugh. He would go, ha, 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 ha. And then he would hear this voice in his head, and the devil would say, why are you laughing? He said, I'm laughing at you, devil. The devil said, oh, you're not going to make it this time. You're going to die. He'd start to laugh again. Ha, ha, ha. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to make yourself do what you don't feel like doing, because you're not living by your feelings. You're living by the Word of God. You've got to be established in this Word. You've got to let this Word dictate and govern you. You've got to let this Word govern your actions, govern your speech, govern your relationship. You've got to stick to the Word no matter what, because the Word will outlast anything here. That's what I'm talking about, being established in the faith. Believe me, I've had some opportunity. I've had marvelous opportunities to quit, but I'm still here. I passed up marvelous opportunities to quit. I've been through some things, but when the smoke clears, I'm here, and I'm going to be here because this is what God's called me to do, and I'm holding to His Word, and I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not quitting. I'm not turning my back. I'm going to follow the course that God has for my life, and I don't care what happens. Because when you do that, you will come out on the end. You will experience the blessing and the goodness of God. You just got to hang in there. You got to be determined. You got to walk in Him. Let me read that scripture in Colossians and I'm going to close. Let me read it from the Amplified. I don't want you to fear what's going on. You ought to get excited. The worst things are, that means the greater God's glory will come on your situation. The worst things are, the greater God's glory will come and shine on you. And then I want you to take this information and I dare you to share. You walk in the Lord and I dare you to share. And watch God use you to be a blessing to someone else. As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism, and vain deceit or idle fancies and plain nonsense. As a Christian, you shouldn't let plain nonsense deter you. Amen? Following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than spiritual world, just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elementary teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ. You know, the devil will try to get you to trade what you know about Christ for what he wants to give you in the world. He did that to Jesus. If you worship me, I'll give you all these cities. You're hungry, Jesus. Why don't you make this stone into bread? He tempted Jesus to trade what he knew about God in for a vain philosophy or deceit. But Jesus didn't give in, and we don't have to either. Amen? And then he said, verse 10, and you are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead. Woo! Say, I got the Godhead in me, and it's good. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. So what can we learn today? You can learn how to walk in Him. It's not going to be easy, but if you do, He'll take care of you. He'll bless you. Amen? He'll cause your circumstance to change. But you have to make that decision. You want to You're heavy laden with burden? Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. You're thirsty? He said, come to me and I'll give you drink. You're hungry? He said, come to me and I'll feed you. That's what he did with the loaves and the fish. Anything that you need, Jesus already has. He already has it waiting for you. He's just waiting on you to come and possess it. Amen? Say this. Say, I'm ready to be who God wants me to be. With my whole heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. I give you full control. I surrender to you, Lord. I submit to your plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is a growing up service. I can't walk the walk for you. You've got to do it. It is your personal choice. God has given you everything you need to succeed. But you've got to take it. You've got to practice it. You've got to work it. Why do you think we do our confession as a church? Because I want everything that we're saying to happen. Have favor with government and businesses. Man. Well, we're going to keep doing it and we're going to watch God work it. Amen? So, go knowing that you can be all that you can be. It's going to require action on your part. Faith without works is dead. Don't just hear say, oh, that was a good sermon that pastor preached. Well, if it was so good, I ought to see it active in you. That's the only way I know that you really believe it. Amen? Well, God bless you. Have a good day. You can fellowship in the kitchen.